Hello and welcome to Contemplative Episcopalian, a podcast of St. Paul's Episcopal Church. We are a Christian faith community located in downtown Beloit, Wisconsin. I am Father TJ Humphrey, and for this episode we are sharing with you a homily that I delivered on Ash Wednesday, 2021. God bless. Remember that you are dust, and to dust you shall return. One of my favorite films of all time is called Of Gods and Men, and it is based on the true story of a group of French Cistercian monks who lived in the mountains of Algeria during the 90s. And the movie, it's set during a tumultuous time in that country. The people of the nation had not only suffered under the weight of a corrupt, very corrupt government, but a reactionary terrorist group had also risen up. And like a great tidal wave, it began to sweep across the land, killing anyone and everyone who seemed to pose a threat to their struggle for political power. And yet, amidst all of this turmoil, the movie gives you glimpses of the simple and serene daily life of the Cistercian monks as they sing their daily prayers together, as they work on their land, and as they care for the people in the nearby village. The beginning of the movie, it makes you feel as though you've somehow entered the tranquil eye of a ferocious storm. And the movie, it's actually a bit boring in the beginning because of this. We are accustomed to constant action and drama in the movies that we watch these days. We're not accustomed to silence and stillness and serenity. But this is precisely the point. The movie wants you to get drawn in to the restful and contemplative way of life of this little monastic community. And it gives you tastes of the hostility and the agitation and the violence that's beginning to rage and swirl all around it. It wants you to feel the juxtaposition. But everything begins to shift as the monks try to figure out how to react to the looming terrorist threat as it gets closer and closer to their little cloister. The monks, they're forced to grapple with the reality of their situation. They can leave. Should they leave? Or should they stay? What is right and what is wrong? If they were to leave, their lives would be spared, and they could easily relocate to a safer area. They can all go on to live their lives in peace, maintaining their way of life. But if they were to give in to their fear and leave, they would be abandoning the villagers who had relied so heavily on them over the years. They would be abandoning the people that they had grown to love. Even though the villagers were mostly Muslim, they came to this Christian monastery for most everything, medical care, for food, for clothing, again, for most everything. People even came to the monks for guidance on all sorts of issues in life, everyday, normal issues in life. In one touching scene, a young girl comes to one of the oldest monks for relationship advice. "Have you ever been in love?" she asks. "How can you know if you've found the one?" In another scene, an older woman wants to send a letter to her son, but she was never taught how to write. So another monk takes the time to patiently act as her scribe. This monastery, even though it represented a different religion and a different tradition, it had been a profound beacon of hope and love to these people for so long. How would the village fare if the monks were to suddenly, out of fear, uproot and leave, abandoning the people as the terrorist threat grew closer and closer? How would they fare? It would devastate them. So in the end, the monks decided to stay. Spoiler alert. Knowing it would lead to their suffering, even knowing that it would lead to their death, to their martyrdom. But the decision to stay, as you can imagine, it did not come easily for them, as holy and saintly and everything else you want to say about them as they were. In one of the most gripping scenes in the whole movie, Brother Christopher, who is one of the monks who is the most unsettled and terrified by the approaching terrorist threat, he vocalizes his outrage over the other brother's decision to stay. Dying here, dying now, does it serve any purpose? What good is it to die when we know that we can escape and live? The abbot of the monastery, Brother Christian, responds by gently embracing Christopher and saying, "Remember, my brother, you have already laid down your life." In his baptism, Christopher had laid down his life. In his monastic vows, he had laid down his life all over again. In Christ, he had, as St. Paul would say, undergone his death and resurrection already. Christopher became a different man as his abbot's words pierced his soul. He knew his abbot was right. And he realized then and there that there are worse things in this life than death. To abandon those who love him, who need him, this is worse than death. To allow the fear of death to overrun one's capacity to remain steadfast, full of faith and hope, this is worse than death. To just react to life and to expend all of one's energy running away from all of the bad stuff instead of living one's life with great intentionality and purpose, this is worse than death. It is better to die full of love, hope, and compassion than it is to live without any of these things. Because it is these things that make life, life. Remember that you are dust, and to dust you shall return. It is not without good reason that the greatest saints all down through history have urged us to keep death constantly before our eyes, to meditate upon our own mortality. It's not as though these saints, they want us to be morbid or fatalistic, but they want us to be realistic with the time that we have been given. They urge us to see death not just as some terrible thing or just as an enemy, but they urge us to see it as a sort of gift. But we can only accept it as such when we know what to do with it. Whenever we don't keep death before our eyes, whenever we pretend like it's something that we don't have to worry about today, we put off for tomorrow all of the things that we should be doing today, right now, right here, in this very moment, as you are drawing in the breaths that you're drawing in now. However, whenever we remember that we have an expiration date, and that those around us also have expiration dates, it gives us a sense of urgency in how we choose to live out our lives. We choose to say the types of things that we know need to be said because we know that we don't have an infinite number of days to express our love and appreciation to those who are closest to us. And we also learn to abide in and to cherish each moment that we are given, because we know that we don't have an infinite number of moments at our disposal. The moments will run out someday. And when we keep death before our eyes, rather than living out of fear of the things that we think we will lose, we eventually learn to live in gratitude for the things that we have. As ironic as it is, death has a way of putting things into perspective for us. Death has a way of spurring us to live each day to the fullest. We will live differently today, fully, passionately, unreservedly, if we truly do believe that we aren't promised a tomorrow. So when we clergy make the sign of the cross with ashes on your forehead on Ash Wednesday, and tell you to remember that there will come a day when you will return to the dust, We're not seeking to bum you out. We're not seeking to remind you so much of the fact that you will die. That's a given, right? No, what we are reminding you is we are reminding you of the fact that you are not dead yet. We are reminding you of the fact that you have a life that deserves to be lived now to the fullest. We are reminding you that you are not dust yet, so don't settle. We are reminding you to give the whole of yourself to this life that you have been given, this beautiful, beautiful life. We don't want you to make it to the end and feel nothing but regret. We don't want your final thoughts to be, I should have done more. I should have said more. I should have been more. No, we want you to be able to say, like Jesus during the final moments before he died, it is finished. And yes, we in the Christian tradition do unashamedly believe in life after death, but not so that we can avoid living into the fullness of this life here and now. Heaven is not a place to be entered into as much as it is something that is meant to be embodied in this life. As I say in my funeral sermons, death is not the punctuation mark at the end of anyone's story. Rather, it's merely the comma in the first line of the opening chapter of their story. It is true that even after death, the bulk of your story will go on. As the line from that famous hymn goes, when we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we've no less days to sing God's praise than when we first begun. And yet, even with all of that, you still want the opening sentence in the opening chapter of your story to be a great one. So make it a great one. Remember that you are dust, and to dust you shall return.